Welcome to part two of the ASP.NET video on caching. Part one dealt with output caching. This video is going to talk about partial page caching, which is a new feature in ASP.NET 2.0. And also, we're going to show you how to use the cache API directly. So to start with, I will create a new website. And we'll call this cache2. And I'm going to need a couple of files that I showed in the previous video. Under my caching files, I use a style sheet and a time label control. Since we want to show a page when a page has been refreshed, we have a nice little component here, and I'll show you what that looks like. So this is all about partial page caching. So let me drop this control on the page right off the bat, and we'll go take a look at it. It just shows the time of day. And it uses a style sheet to make it look a little bit nicer. So, we'll show the page. So whenever we get the seconds tick over, it's showing 8. You can see every time I hit refresh, the green bar goes up. Okay, so we're going to be building off this concept. So let me remove this and go back to the design layout. I'm going to insert a table with 4 rows and 3 columns. And a little bit of cell padding to give us some room. Let me drop this time label back here in the middle, and this is, I'll just call it time now. Okay. So that's our, what we want to do now is show, in the previous video I showed how to cache the entire page, but in this case we're going to show you how you can take a user control and have just its contents cached. Now by default the time label control is very simple. It just has a label, a little chunk of HTML with a div tag and a label, and when that particular control loads it just gets the current date and time and sticks it in the label text. And it also does some magic here to set the width of the style tag. So let me close that. I'm going to make a copy of this and call the control time label number 2 and make a small modification to it. We can do caching directly in the control using the same syntax as before, output cache. And I'll set the duration for this one equal to 6 seconds. We don't want it too long for this. And again, we'll do the vary by param. So any modifications, it doesn't matter what the query string looks like, it's going to refresh. So I'll close that time label and drag it right into the middle. So this is our, we'll call it, this is kind of the page attribute for the control. So now when we view this page, let's see, I think I have a typo here. I need to give this a unique class name number 2. So back on the, let me just delete this and drag it back in. Okay, watch when I hit refresh. The top control is going to refresh for every second. The bottom one will catch up every 6 seconds. So you can see it just got back in sync. So this shows this component right here is being cached, but every 6 seconds it's going to be invalidated and shows up with it. This is not using the code behind model. This has the code and the control all with it. If you are using a code behind model, it might look something like this. I'll create a new web user control. I'll do this one from scratch and call it time control 3, but I'll put the code in a separate file. And I still need the HTML from there, and I'll just paste it right here. And that's good. Now let's go look at the source code for this time control. I'm going to need this page load code, and I will paste that inside my component here. But first I need a page event. There's the load method. And then I can paste it right in. So now I have time control 3. It looks just like time. I called it time control. Time control 3 looks just like time label. Now right here above the class, I can put in a class level attribute called partial caching. And I pass in the variable of, let's see, I did the other one for 6 seconds. I'll do this one for double that, or 12. And that's it. So I'll save that, and I'll drop it back into that form right here. I'll call it class attribute. So to show there's 2 different ways to do it. Okay, here we go. You'll see the middle one will catch up to the top one in just a second. There it is. And the bottom class attribute will catch up with the two of them. There we go. So they're all caught up. So there's several different ways to do it depending on how your class is built. Now, let's keep going. We're going to add caching to the entire page, which I showed in the first caching video. Output cache. So you can see what it does if we do it here. I'll set the duration to something small like just 3 seconds. And vary by param. Got to have that. Okay, now it's getting a little complicated because we have all different layers of caching, but by default, none of them are cached. If I hit refresh, see, as I'm hitting it, every 3 seconds it cycles the whole page. Now, I did this because I want to set up the final thing I want to show you for partial page caching. If you have a chunk of code or a method that you want executed irrespective of what the page level cache is set for, where there is a new control to control that. Let me go back to the design mode and drop in this thing called the substitution control. I'll bring it here and let me do this. I'll merge these two cells, then drop the substitution control in. Now the substitution control will execute some arbitrary method. I just need to return a string, and the method name will be, I'll just call it get date time. Okay, we switch to the source mode. Now we need a little bit of script code here that I have sitting here in this file. Let me paste it in and I'll explain it. So, I called it get real time. Let me change that. So the method that it's going to call, getRealTime, is at the top of this page, and it's passed the HTTP context, which we're using as a way to return back the uncached time for the page. It's easier just to show it to you than try to explain it. Let me hit refresh here. So remember, I have the page set to cache every 3 seconds, but every time I hit refresh, this guy's ticking up. So it doesn't matter what the page level cache was, the substitution control will just punch through that and give you this somewhat complicated page with 4 levels of caching, but I wanted to show you here how you can do different partial caching, the different ways of doing it for your own user controls. So I'm going to close this page and move on to the cache API. Now I'll add a new page for this demo. I'll call it cache API. And we'll keep the code in a separate file. Now for this demo, I'm going to use our trusty data grid, and I'll call it DG1 and run at equals server. But that's it. I'm not going to bind it in a declarative way. I'm going to bind it programmatically. So to do that, we need a page load method, some code in page load. So I'll double click it. It's my shortcut for getting the page load method. And inside here, I'll say, just to do something quick, you know what? We're always binding to a database. I'm going to do something different this time and bind it to an XML file. So to do that, I'm going to add a quick XML file. Let's see, right there. I'll just call it names. This just be some names of people. So person one, I'll just do me. First equals Scott. Last equals Stanfield. And let me add another one. Person first equals Jack. Last equals gal. Okay, so we'll save that. Now back in our page load code, we'll do something simple. So first of all, I need this. If the page is not in the postback mode, that's what I care about. I need a path to that file. So we have a path variable. Set it equal to websites cache to what I call it, names.xml. Okay, so we're going to read that XML file into a data set. So we need a variable for the data set. And it has a method called readXML, which is handy, and I just pass it the path name. And finally, our datagrid1 has a method property called dataSource, which I'll just point to the data set, and finally tell it to bind to that data source. So this is some of the code that we've been doing in a declarative way, but now we can do it programmatic. And let's see if this works. There we go. So quick and dirty way just to read directly from an XML file. Okay, now let's add caching to this as well. So I need to make a few changes to the code. So first I'm going to put this dim statement for the data set at the top of this method. and I don't want to create a new instance of it yet because there's a chance, but not on the first time through, it will be found inside the cache object, this global cache object. And we have to give it a name, the name of the cache key value. And if it's found, I want that generic object to be returned cast as a data set. Now, the first time through, that's not going to be found. So in this case, data set, if the data set is nothing, then we're going to execute a block of code. Else, end if, get my code all lined up. Okay, so now we need this path code up here. And we're still going to be reading the XML from the data set. But now I need to actually set it equal to a new data set, because before the memory wasn't allocated for it. So now I have a data set object and I read in the XML file. Now before I do any page binding, I want to stash this data set away using the cache API. So the cache has a method called insert, and I have to give it a name, just the key value, and I'll use the same one I used right here. So call it names, and then I give it the name of the object that I want to cache. In this case, it's the data set. Now notice that's all I have to do, but we can go one step further and give it a cache dependency. So a cache dependency is interesting here. I'm going to create a new cache dependency. Cache dependency. And using the same path name right here, I can now associate this cache entry. It will be associated with that file name, that path, and if the file changes, it will automatically invalidate the path. So we insert that into the cache, and finally, I'm going to use a trace statement this time. It will write out to a special area on the page that the data was, let's see, names read from XML file. Whoops. I'll copy that to the clipboard. Now down here in the else statement, if it wasn't in the cache, if it was in the cache, there's nothing we have to do. I'll put the statement in here as well, but I'll say the names read from cache. And finally, we do our data binding and we're done. Okay, let's see if this works. Oh, one more thing. In order to view the trace statements, the output from that, I need to enable tracing for the page. And at the top level here, I'll just set the trace flag equal to true. And set the trace mode, I want it sorted by the category so the warnings will be at the top. So here's what we're seeing. This is all the tracing details. So the names were read from the XML file this time, but when I hit refresh, notice they were read from the cache. Refresh again, it's still cached. In fact, if I close this page and go back to it, it will still be read from the cache because that's associated with the whole session in ASP.NET. I'm sorry, not the session, but the application in ASP.NET. So let me add something to the XML file to invalidate the cache. I'll add another name. Oops, got to get my XML correct here. Now I hit save, go back and hit refresh. I expect this to be, say, names read from XML file, and that will be updated. Sure enough. But now when I hit it again, it's cached. So that's good. So we're using the cache dependency and the cache API directly. The last thing I want to do on this page is programmatically flush the cache. So at the top, I'll have a button to reset the cache. And inside here, it's simple. I just call cache.remove, and then the item I want to remove is the names out of the collection, and then simply redirect right back to this page. Save that and run it again. So here we say we read from the reading from the cache, but if I flush it, this time through we're going to read from the XML file. And now when I hit refresh, it's still good. You know, there's something you should notice. This is the time it took to execute that code. Watch, when I flush the cache and read from the file system, that was 3,500. It was pretty quick. We're in the sub-second space, obviously. But next time I hit refresh, watch that number drop dramatically by at least a factor of 10. So it turns out reading from the cache is pretty quick. When I read from the file system by flushing the cache, you know, it's granted, it's small for this one user, but if you multiply this page hit times 1,000 if you're a very busy website, that could add up. And, you know, that's just coming from the file system. It's even probably more useful to do that kind of performance tuning by caching the contents of a database or data read. So I hope you found these techniques useful. The Cache API has you'll find a lot of use for it once you start playing with it. It can really improve the performance of your site.